Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Hello? Anybody home?
Dude, you gotta hear this.
What?
What is it?
This true force has never been fully understood.
Say, what is this?
It boils down to two simple words.
Rock and roll.
Rock and roll.
New England clam sugar.
That's what I'm talking about.
All right, let's keep rocking and rolling.
Wonderful. Couldn't have said it better myself.
It's rock and roll, brother, and we're rocking tonight.
Let me hear it!
Had to wait to Lance. Good morning, Handyman Show, right here at Super Talk Mississippi at the Bill Mississippi Studios. My name is Buddy Slowick. I'm going to be here until about, let's see if I got to calculate. I got to think until about noonish. We're going to have us a good time. Lance and I are going to do the entire program. Good to have you over there, Lance.
Always a pleasure to be here, sir. I love getting to see my man here on a Saturday. Find out what you've been up to all week.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've gotten into something all week.
It's always been something going on all week.
A little rain, too.
Very little. A little left to maybe dust a had.
Yeah.
But not very much. Hopefully we'll get some. And today's like... It may or may not rain. At first, when I woke up, it said it wasn't going to rain. Then it said it was going to rain. Now, I don't know.
It dripped a second.
Yeah.
It wasn't much. Somebody texted me from Oxford going, howdy, toddy. I said, yeah, it's just about to rain here. And I was out there on my phone, and it drip, 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 and then went back to no rain. So, you know, it was a little head fake. That's football action for you.
That's football action for you all the way.
Before we get deep into other items, there were – We had the Birdman, Ken Hackman, with us today, and he's always an amazing
good friend.
Wealth of information, yeah, great friend of the program.
Absolutely a wealth of information.
He does a great job every time we get honored to have him sit in. And we were talking about birdhouses.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's something to think about.
Just, sure.
The different styles of birdhouses and things you can do if you're a bird watcher, and we have a lot that are.
Yeah.
And, you know, just basic materials, things maybe that you could use to, if you had laying around the house, so old fence material, things like that.
Right.
Create a birdhouse. And
well, the beauty of old fence material is a lot of it is like somewhat pressure treated or cedar, and either or would make a pretty good birdhouse because it would be non-decay, it wouldn't decay as quickly, and birdhouses are different sizes for different type birds. The purple martin, I mean, there's people that have purple martin condos in their backyard that really build little small condos for these purple martins to fly in, and really what they do is they get rid of all the mosquitoes in the area. So, you know, I mean, and that's as much as I know about birds.
Well, and you had bats eat up so many mosquitoes, too, and just kind of creating, you know, that habitat that's out away from light and things of that nature, because they like it dark. But, you know, if you've got any projects you've put aside or you've got some old wood or something, just parlaying off of Ken's great two-hour segment. With bird watching, it's such a peaceful thing.
It is,
it's
really
so many colors.
There's
it's amazing, especially when we get to this time of year where the greens and the colors start dying. Then the birds. That's about all you got with color this time of year, other than the poinsettias. You know?
I have a weird thing that goes on every year in my backyard. I have trees that go maybe 40, 50 feet in the air, and there's one tree about every maybe October and November. I don't know what it is, but it's a bright red, like the red on our microphone red, that kind of bright red shining from that tree up in the center. And is it a leaf drying? I don't know. Is it a bird? Well, it doesn't seem to want to move. If it's a bird, it's a cardinal, but it doesn't seem to want to move a whole lot. And I keep looking around. I see it every year, and I still have not figured out what it is. It's just one little red dot up there all the time, every year. And it's really an interesting kind of situation. But it is very, very peaceful to sit out in back and just kind of watch. I watch all the birds and all the critters and all the squirrels scamper around. And I used to enjoy watching the deer a great deal, but... we got some coyotes that lives with some coyotes, or a bunch of them live in the area now, and the deer have disappeared from my neighborhood anyway. I'm sure one day they'll be back, and look forward to it. But at any rate, yeah, you can do a lot building birdhouses. I mean, it can become like a full-time hobby. A lot of people are building birdhouses not only for themselves, but they're also selling them on the side and making some profit and doing something they love doing, working with wood, working with all sorts of wood, making all sorts of birdhouses and having a good time. And they're making good money doing it, so their hobby doesn't cost them anything, and yet there's so much pleasure to be had and so much satisfaction to be had from creating something like that. And there really is.
Oh, it is. That handyman mentality, finding things that maybe you go, well, my dad's the best at this, by the way. You don't want to throw that away. We might could use it. I'm like, what are we going to possibly use this for? I don't know, man. We'll find some use for it. Yeah. But it's amazing. You know, when I get to deer camp up the, you know, and we have this hoard of metal and junk and stuff that's just strewn. And it's funny, you know, he's actually right sometimes. I can't give him credit all the time, but, well, you know, I find a lot of things that I've cobbled into something else. You know?
I have to admit that when I had a contracting business for a long time where I would do remodeling work, and everything that was useful I would take home and put in my house somewhere. Yeah. And I look at it now and go, I wonder what was wrong with me then. Because I live totally opposite of that, where... Yeah. If I'm not using it, if I'm not using it, it's gonna go. I don't need it. I may need it one day. I don't care. It's gone. And I've just really, probably in the last year or so, gotten to that kind of thinking. And
my mom would be applauding you. You know, because she's the same. She's has a great taste and a design and sense. Being a realtor, and
sure,
you go in so many places and you see what looks good and what doesn't.
Right.
But you know, she has her own flavor of things too.
Sure.
But over the years, it's gone from, you know, things, there's a lot more stuff to where it's more room. You keep taking stuff out. The garage will get more full, but the house gets a little bit more open. But I like open space. I mean, I do too. I hate, you know, and I'm negotiate while I'm walking.
And I'm a stickler for garages. Garages need to be, I have a two-car garage. Guess what? You can get two cars in there or two trucks in there if you want to, because it's not crowded with a whole bunch of stuff that I don't need in the house. And that's what I think garage is for an automobiles to be in, or vehicles. And that's
the way you see it. I will say that my dad, he's the garage has got to be very orderly. Two cars go in it, you know.
Yeah.
The mom, that's a little different. That's her staging ground for all of the artwork and all of the wreaths and all of the pillows and staging that she uses in real estate. It's a treasure trove of goodies when I go out there.
When I was building things like farmhouse tables and kitchen tables and things like that, I would always use, again, the garage was my staging area for building, and I would build for hours out there and build for days. And then I finally realized, you know what? Look at the walls in this garage are just so covered with dust and dirt. Maybe this isn't a good idea. And it took me a long time to get it cleaned up again, and I don't...
That's the worst. The garage cleaning is like going in the attic and trying to straighten up after 30 years of packing stuff in there.
It's just better to leave the door closed. Like, don't pull
just
it.
Keep putting the stuff, you know, close. Don't go back 20 feet into the attic. You don't want to do that.
My daughter and I have threatened to go up there for 2 years now and clean that place out, because a lot of the stuff is the kids' stuff that they've left from, you know, being in a house.
Yeah. Well, you got it's years and decades of things that you forgot about.
Yeah.
You look back on it and you go, that was cool once.
I think there's like three baby high chairs up there that are useless, that are against the law to use nowadays because they're not of the safety kind. The new ones are. So
those are project types things that during this time of year, you know, you get into the attic.
Yeah, yeah.
This is when you go up there and get the Christmas tree stuff, and you get your Thanksgiving stuff and your Halloween stuff. And is there a real, I mean, products that you can use, such as, you know, the holy board where you put the hooks and stuff? I mean, are you that organized in your garage where you have all your tools, like King of the Hill, you know, where it's everything is where it's supposed to be?
I have everything set up to do that. I do have the pegboard walls that are white with all the pegboard hooks on them and all the places for the tools to go. but all my tools are not in those places. Yeah, and sometimes I have to dig to find them.
I mean, you don't have like a chalk outline on the wall where
no,
that would get.
I wish I did. I wish I were that organized, but I'm not quite that organized.
I'm glad you're not. I mean,
I have to tell you the truth. I'm just. I kind of.
Some people are. That's the thing. Some people really, you'll drive, I'll have their garage will be open and I'll pass through because I live in a neighborhood.
Sure.
You know, and you'll see some people are like me, you know, where it's not the most orderly and there's, I'll do that later. You clean up the garage.
Yeah.
And then you clean it up and then it's a week later, it's back to where it was. Well, and then there's some people that it's just absolutely immaculate.
That's the same with my storage room. I'll take a day to clean that thing, just get it as absolutely the way I want it, the way it should be. And I promise it won't last a week or two.
No, it can't. I mean, that's sacrilege, right?
Yeah. It drives you crazy.
Oh, so what is the solution to that?
Yeah, move.
You know, I'm asking you.
Move.
Yeah. Is it? Do you think that, you know, organization is obviously a very important in the world of, you know, handyman work.
Absolutely.
Being able to find your screwdriver and know where the nails are you're looking for. And,
right.
You know, but is there a mindset? I know you're a plan-oriented guy. Do you take everything out of the garage? And then you lay out, okay, this is where I want stuff.
Sure.
Or do you leave everything in there and just move it around to here?
No, I try and I pile it all in the center of the garage and work towards the
walls.
Work it how it should be. And I don't do that often enough.
Really. Now, when you're attaching your pegboard.
Yeah, pegboard, yeah.
Yeah, pegboard. You're looking for your studs there to anchor into.
I use 1x2, always going into studs somewhere. And at the top, I use the shoe and a plate, and the bottom, pretty much going across the bottom, I go from stud to stud to anchor it. And that's pretty much all you need just for a frame for your pegboard is that 1x2 attached to through sheetrock.
To the stud work.
To the stud, but it must be to the stud work, or you guess what? Your pegboard won't stay on the wall.
You'll come home and all your tools, hard work, will be on the carport floor.
And I don't think this is a case where you can put your 1x2 up by using mollies or any sort of bolt expander that works inside of a wallboard.
Yeah. Which you would do for like paintings or lightweight, so you're not going to use that for...
No, that's fine for lightweight stuff, but not when you're putting tools up. I put heavy tools on my stuff. I mean, when you drive by my garage and the garage is open, you can see all sorts of tools hanging up there. That doesn't mean I'm as organized as I should be.
It's always a project needing done, right?
Well, I've got a little thing I want to talk about this morning that I've heard a lot about, and I was talking to Patton Seabrook yesterday about this situation as well, and that's particularly here in Mississippi, maybe even central Mississippi, I don't know, throughout the entire state, still there's a lot of people that want to have a wooden exterior door stained and finished with like spar finish. And admittedly, it looks fantastic. It really does look great. But it won't be but 2 or 3 years down the road where that door that looks so wonderful is going to get beat to death by the sun and the wind and the rain and will need some sort of attention at that point in time. And every time a stained door needs attention, it gets costly. So to have a stained door as your entry, and it really does make that beautiful statement that this is an elegant, elegant home by having a stained door. But the maintenance, you know, we try to get into homes that are as maintenance-free as we can. And by putting up a stained door, that sort of is against what we're trying to do. The best advice that I even received this from Patton Seabrook yesterday, and I agree with it totally. The best way is just to paint a door, because paint lasts so much longer and is so much tougher and can withstand the elements so much better. A great paint job on a door will last for 5, 6, 7, 10 years even, whereas a stain with spar varnish is only going to last a year or two, need refinishing again, only going to last another year or two. It's always going to need attention. And you have to keep in mind that most of those doors are made up of many, many different pieces of wood that are glued together and clamped together and, you know, all sorts of ways put together. So the change in the atmosphere and the weather makes all those doors want to expand. And if you let your door get too far down the road as far as needing to be refinished, you're apt to have a cracked panel in there. And if you have a cracked panel in there, yeah, it can be fixed and yeah, maybe replaced, but it's a hassle. And people don't want that. And it's kind of hard to make that crack in the panel look like it's part of the door again, even with all the great colored wood fillers that are out there nowadays, and then stained it again. So I recommend that all the people with stained doors really, really start considering maybe it's time we started painting. And I say that having driving around, seeing all of the subdivisions, a lot of new houses are using wooden exterior doors that are painted nowadays instead of stained, because really it's the smarter thing to do. When you go to other parts of the country, you may not find as nearly as many stained doors as you will around here, because they use a door to, they put a color that pops on it so much, it makes that really adds to the glow of the house, if you will. It makes the house look so much better just by picking the correct color. Yeah, that's difficult. You have to match it with your roof shingles and maybe your brick and maybe your, who knows, your shutters, all sorts of things. But, you know, there are different ways to go about it. A stained door does look great, but really it requires a lot of attention. So I suggest that you maybe find another way. I know a lot of builders are getting away from that and using, yeah, still there are stained doors out there, for sure. And, you know, I guess if you've got a custom home that costs $2 million, you can put a stained door in.
You can do whatever you want, huh?
Do whatever you want. And a couple of years, you know, you spend $500, $600, get it restained, who cares?
I got behind a guy the other day, and it must have been on Old Fannin, Spillway turning in, and he was a door guy.
Yeah.
I've not ever really seen just a truck. You know, like with it just, yeah, we do doors.
I've seen them around.
Yeah. But I know that guy's busy.
Oh, wow.
You don't see enough of those guys. You'd be like, oh,
I've watched them do some work before, and they do a pretty good job. Now, I'm sure they're expensive.
Yeah, I was about to say, they're probably a shiny penny or
something. But to get it done right, that's really...
It's labor intensive.
It's labor intensive. It takes time. Well, you listen to the Rock and Roll Handyman Show here at Super Talk Mississippi. My name is Buddy Slowick at the Build Mississippi Studios. Hey, come on up at 11:30. We've got Josh Quick is going to be with us with Mid-South Crawl Space Solutions, and we'll talk to him. But that's not coming up till later. Till then, we're just going to yak about stuff to do. Buddy Slowick, Andy Beam, be right back.
While most people are settling into their cubicles and sifting through their inboxes, others are busy building the foundation of the future. One brick, pipe, and electrical line at a time. The construction industry in Mississippi needs over 100,000 skilled tradespeople now. If you're looking for an in-demand, well-paying career, visit buildmississippi.com to discover rewarding careers in the trades. Buildmississippi.com. Your future is waiting. Let's build it.
This is professional ball player and former Mississippi State Bulldog, Jake Mangum. I travel a lot, but no place feels like home. Our houses and our cars are where we spend a lot of our time. That's why a home and auto insurance bundle from Farm Bureau makes so much sense. If you aren't already on the team, it's time to join Farm Bureau. Visit favrates.com for great rates on home and auto insurance, or find a local agent at msfbins.com. Farm Bureau Insurance. Go with the home team.
Concrete. Oh, feeling, maybe he'll see a little better. Said
Hey, welcome back to the Rock and Roll Handyman Show here on Super Talk Mississippi. Hey, text us anytime you get a notion or any question you may have. Maybe you're doing a project. Maybe you build some birdhouses. Show us some pictures, man. You send pictures. You can text them to 601-879-4395. Or maybe you've got a home project that you enjoy doing, whether it's farmhouse furniture or just building little stools or whatever. Send us what you, let's see what you're doing.
It's, you know, it's funny, we haven't even had fire pit weather yet.
Yeah, really.
I mean, being a high school football guy, Friday nights are the burn, you know, the burn barrel.
Yeah.
You got the big 50-gallon drum. Sure. People stand around it, have a toddy, throw the junk in there, burn it, everybody's warm. We hadn't even had one of those yet. No burn barrels.
As I said, I was talking to the Patton Seabrook yesterday, and he said, well, I guess this is 72, 80 degrees going to go away pretty soon. I guess, I don't know. He said, this is Mississippi.
Man, you never know. I was looking at it, counting down. You know, generally, we've had a little bit of cold weather by now. Yeah. We may push into December before we get a snap.
I know.
If you look at the, you know, the forecast, it's 70s.
I guess after the some rain's coming. Who knows? It may rain, but yeah. I guess it's pretty much time for me to mow my back lawn.
Yeah, last time, right? Maybe one more if it stays like this.
Well, I've been waiting for that one more, and it's not like it's growing and it's huge or anything. It just needs, you know, cutting would make it look really good.
Well, you know, there's differing opinions on, and I've talked to Garden Mama about this. If you are a homeowner and you have a yard, do you take all the leaves that have fallen off your oaks and pile them up and get rid of them and all that during the winter, or do you leave them so that they protect the grass and potentially leave, you know, some dampness in there and that? And there's differing opinions on that. Some people love it to be like my dad. He cannot stand it for there to be one pine needle.
Yeah, a lot of people like
now,
that.
He's been in, I'll say this, he's been in and out of UMMC. He's been dealing with leukemia. And so he's gone through his third round of chemo. And he got out the other day. And so I went over and I blew off the driveway and went around the house and blew off everything. And he's a zero turn. And he loves asking his wife to get out there and sweep the yard.
Right.
Sweep it.
Right.
And so he's meticulous with his yard. It's hilarious. And so being in the situation he's been in for the last few months, he hadn't been able to do that. And so I know the rat's nest that's going on in his head as he looks out that window and sees one leaf, and not even a leaf. It's just one piece of pine straw sticking out.
Ruining my day.
If we're sitting there, he'd be like, hey, why don't you go out there and grab that for me?
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's driving him crazy now, right?
How I believe in it is like, the leaves fall and they cover the yard and it gets really thick. And that's when I pile them up and take them out front and let the city come, and the city sucks them up in their big vehicle. And then leaves keep falling.
They do.
But they don't cover the whole, I mean, they don't put an entire blanket on
there.
They just kind of, they're scattered all over the place. And I leave them. I just leave them for the winter and let them set there.
After you get the first big, you know,
yeah, I get the big stuff out of the way first and then let just whatever's going to fall and it kind of, it nourishes, I believe, the grass.
Yeah, well, that's what I've heard from different people in that field. They say, it's actually good for the grass to do that.
I mean, that's all part of the plan. And we want to keep it clean. We like that fairway. We like that green look.
Well, you know, that's a good question. I have a tree that I have to get out of there. It's a tallow tree, and it's ruined the backyard because as it's matured, it just continues to multiply on the tallow seeds that drop. But I'll say this, the squirrels love it. I mean, I've never seen a fatter squirrel in my life, but he just sits up there breaking apart these little seeds and dropping that on me and my dogs while he's eating that fat. It's inside of that seed, the tallow. I mean, he's as big. It's like a little mini whale.
Loves it.
Oh, yeah, his belly is so swolled up. So whenever I get rid of that tree, he's going to have to find him a new meal. That's going to be on a diet.
Don't worry, he will.
Oh, yeah, there's plenty. But I'm telling you, if you don't have a tallow tree, they're really pretty. They grow really fast, too.
Well, what is a tallow tree?
They're a Chinese tree that were originally brought here to create tallow, wax-like fat. And they would be, you know, find some type of harvesting use. And we would think maybe in, you know, for candles, things like that here. Yeah. But in China, they would keep the tree manicured and cut down and not let it grow wild up like an oak.
Sure.
So the goal was to keep this tree very short and squatty so that you could put a ladder up there and pick the tallow seeds that have fat in them. They would use that fat, though, or that it's almost like soy.
Sure.
You know, they use that for a cooking substance like Crisco. It's a fat, and they'd put it in different things. But they use the actual tree for many different things, but sure. That was the primary reason. But it was brought here, much like kudzu, to solve something that never really happened. Oh, we'll use this stuff. Oh. They're like, oh, no. Yeah,
kudzu really did help warrior, huh?
Yeah, it did a great job.
Good job, guys.
The foxes love it.
Good job, guys.
Beautiful, but it doesn't, you know, it just takes over stuff. And the tallow is the same way. The tree itself will grow anywhere.
Yeah, it's like bamboo.
Yeah, I mean, it'll just sprout up. You'll see them everywhere. You better pull those things because you have a tree in about 5 minutes.
Bamboo says, you don't think I can grow in your tub, huh?
Yeah, no. And another funny, we have a tuft of bamboo. I grew up, you know, where I grew up, and my dad, we still have it, and it's manicured, and it's just a real sprig of, and they go up about 20, 30 feet.
Yes, they do.
And we've made some great fishing poles out of that.
Yeah. We had a field near our house next to our barn that was down low, which had bamboo growing in, like incredible, a lot of bamboo. And it was very tough to control because there was so much of it.
But, oh, yeah. My dad taught me how my papaw would make cane poles.
Sure.
And you'd go to the, you know, go find your tuft of bamboo and get the right size out, and then you cut it the right way at a knuckle.
And
then you hang it.
Yeah.
You know, you hang it. From some twine and let it dry.
Wow.
And there's a way to do that. If you don't, it'll just fall apart.
Right.
It'll just split and go down. But I was learning that skill from my dad many years ago, and he'd say, "Yeah, my dad, he'd make these, make them out of bamboo." And we're like, "Let's give it a try," and we did, and they were great.
Yeah.
Great for crappie fishing.
Well, bamboo is just a great product because it's so renewable.
Flooring,
and it grows like crazy, but for flooring and for so many different reasons, it's a great wood renewable resource for us to if we learn how to use it properly, and we are using it somewhat. But I believe there are other uses that we can get.
Well, paper seems to be a natural to me that we have not really crossed that bridge, but with the fibrous nature of bamboo. I've always been curious why we see pine, which is more native here. I get that. We're in the pine belt.
Sure.
But it seems like bamboo would grow really fast, too. For creating pulp, if that was your goal to pull, you know, create pulp wood for paper.
Yeah.
Toilet paper, those things, because I think we're importing a lot of our toilet paper now. Right? It looks like that when you go to Kroger when somebody says, "There's going to be a storm. Oh my God, China's not sending toilet paper."
I know you would have picked up a bag of toilet paper at a store and 17 people attack you.
You're like,
"That's mine."
Why are you getting a big thing of toilet paper? Oh no, I just have 15 kids.
You see, I have this part of my anatomy that needs cleaning every now and then. I have to have this little bag.
Then why are you getting so many? Is there a storm coming? No. I'm a hoarder. I have 15 kids.
I better take a minute to tell you about Revel Ace Hardware before we get off track here too far. Revel Ace Hardware, one of the great hardware stores around. I'm talking about Central Mississippi has none better than Revel Ace Hardware. Rook's Revel Hardware, they have all of the hardware you'll ever need, plus they have something very special. It's called customer service. I know that most of us are not accustomed to the really good customer service, like old-timey customer service that really, really gave us what we needed. Well, that's what Revel is built on. That's how Revel works today. And on top of that, they have a power equipment center right next door to their Revel hardware store in Pearl. And their power equipment center is just full of zero-turn mowers and great tools and replacements parts for all of your mower needs and all of your lawn equipment needs and trailers and anything you might need. To haul zero-turn mowers, or Revel has it, believe me. Plus, they have great push mowers. Plus, the service at their outdoor power equipment center is the same as the service in this store. They care about people, and they want to take care of your needs. Go see my friends at Revel Ace Hardware. They know what's going on in hardware, and they can help you. Very competitive in pricing, and they want to be there for you. Revel Ace Hardware, appreciate them very much. Good people in the hardware business. All right, Revel Hardware, yeah. They really do know what's going on in the hardware business for sure.
And this time of year is always a good time to redo the wood slats in your trailer. always a good time. Because the wood slats, you know, if you've got a trailer, most trailers have long 2x6s in there.
Oh, yeah.
That is a trick.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something. If somebody knows an easy way to do that, because it has the lip.
Yeah.
You know, and you got to get it in there and make it fit and all that. But everybody's taking their side-by-sides and four-wheelers out to the woods and getting ready to deer hunt and all that. And they're going to pull that thing up there, and that wheel's going to bust through. And you're going to go, man, I should have done that this summer. I'm telling you, you should have, because it's a pain in the butt to redo that.
It's hard. Yeah, it sure is.
Especially, we got a, I don't know how long, it feels like it's as long as an 18-wheeler.
Yeah.
But it's not. A double axle. We put our tractor on it with, you know, with the blade on the back and the bucket on the front.
What kind of tractor?
Kubota.
All right. Yeah. Okay.
And, man, you're talking about it pulling that thing. I get what the CDL guys do, you know, for a living, pulling those long trailers.
Yeah.
And I've got a little V6. And my FJ, when I'm pulling that thing, it walks a wheelie almost. I mean, it is really, people are like, what is this guy doing, man? I've learned. You need a V8 for that.
To pull it properly.
But I'm telling you, if you haven't replaced the slats in your floorboards, and do it, because you're gonna regret it. But if you do, and you're an expert at this, please share with us the easiest way to do that, because it is a little tricky,
but it's maintenance, and it's something that people need to do and need to do on a regular basis, you know, all the time. And well, it's not done regularly.
It leads me to the next thought I had in with floorboards, but, you know, the attic.
Yeah.
You know, how much of an attic should be decked?
Right.
You know, should you leave it where you have exposed insulation? Is it better for the house to breathe? Or do you want to deck your entire attic so you can use the space? I mean, I don't know. That's a question.
I've always been told that insulation really works better when it's encapsulated.
Okay.
So, therefore, I would think that covering it over with a floor is probably the better answer. And if anybody out there disagrees with that, please text me, and I want to hear your point of view. Because
that's another train of thought on that. Why do builders not go on and deck everything? It can't be that much more of a cost if you look at the house itself.
That's why they don't, is because of cost. Okay. Yeah. And then the question is, what to deck it with. Mm-hmm. If you deck it with something too thin, that's not going to do the job. I mean, the best thing you can use is something at least 5/8 or 3/4 inch thick for decking up there. And then you've got a pretty solid floor that you can put a lot of weight on. And
you're doing that. You're stacking stuff in there, books from the kids, the encyclopedias, the 1984 brick Dell computer. You know, you can't throw it away. There may be a use for this thing. But a lot of people are getting in that attic this time of year. I want to talk about that because I saw two fires last year.
Yeah.
Two fires, attic fires. There were a lot more.
Wow.
A lot of them start in the attic.
Yeah.
And you're going to be putting stuff on and pulling stuff out and all this and that. Please be careful. Yeah. Pay attention to what you got plugged in up there, if anything.
If anything.
If you got a light that you switch on and off, that is a pull cord.
Right.
Make sure you turn this stuff off, because I'm telling you, folks, I saw way too many fires.
Yeah, there's
now we hadn't had the cold snap yet, but once we do,
there's a house in not too far from Kroger and Pearl that has burned totally gutted. I mean, just gone. I just drove by the other day and went, wow.
Well, and I'm bad at this. I'm not a rubbernecker, but if I see two or three fire trucks heading in one direction, I'll follow them.
Yeah.
Not fast, but I mean, because then you find out what's going on.
Yeah.
And I did that two or three times last year around this time, and I was like, whoa. I mean, nice places, and, you know, having parties, too, Christmas parties, and just to be precautionary.
Yeah.
You know, if you're up in the attics, give it a good one over. See if there's anything that shouldn't be there. You know, because these batteries, remember lithium batteries, that thing will blow up on you. Oh. So if you are storing things up there this time of year, man, make sure you don't have things that are volatile.
Yeah, when you have when you're putting batteries up in the attic, like those batteries, storage batteries.
Yeah, people are pulling stuff out of their, you know.
The temperature in the attic sometimes in the summer gets to be like 150 degrees.
Yeah, even now it's going to be much hotter than traditionally this time of year.
It's like you've put a bomb up there waiting to go off.
And that's my thought. Don't store your lithium batteries on the third floor in the attic. I don't know if it's even safe to me to leave them in the garage if you do have volatiles in there, combustibles, a car, you know, those types of things. Just be careful, because this is that time of year. It seems this is when these things happen.
Yeah, and it is. And it's really dangerous, incredibly dangerous. I mean, just look out. Those lithium batteries are, of course, they're great, but I don't know. There might be a better way. Hey, about time to take a short break. You're listening to the Handyman Show here at the Build Mississippi Studios. Gonna take a short break. Be right back. Don't you go away. More of the Handyman Show coming your direction. Deep in the woods, down on Gold Valley Road.
Superior. It's more than a name. It's a promise that we make to our customers to provide you the highest quality U.S. farm-raised catfish at your favorite restaurant, your family reunion, or on your dinner table. Hey, this is Steve Azar, and I want to let you know that with Superior Catfish, you know the next bite is as good as the first, time after time, made possible by your friends and neighbors here in Mississippi. Remember, there's catfish. Then there is Superior Catfish.
Make plans to visit Grammy Museum, Mississippi to experience Music America, iconic objects from America's music history. Now through April 2025, featuring iconic objects from artists such as B.B. King, Billie Holiday, Bob Dylan, Buddy Holly, Ella Fitzgerald, Elvis Presley, Frank Sinatra, Jimi Hendrix, Lead Belly, Sam Cooke, and Whitney Houston, with specific artifacts on display.
To purchase tickets or learn more about the exhibit and other events, visit GrammyMuseumMS.org. America's Music Highway is supported by Visit Mississippi and the Mississippi Humanities Council.
Hi.
I can say is I can't remember the number of clubs I played that song and watched people jumping up and down.
Oh, the video of this one is great. It's Leon and friends with this big 350-pound woman with a baker's roller out there jiving around. And shit. Oh, it's a blast, man. You can't beat Leon.
Going to answer some texts that came in from, Shaq Bully from Biloxi. I guess he's a regular.
Shaq Bully, yeah.
Shaq Bully, thank you. Good message you sent us that when flooring an attic, you have to keep in mind that most electricians will run their wiring, electrical wiring, above the rafters, and to put sheeting on top of them can actually create a short and be very dangerous. So if you are going to put sheeting in your attic, you do have to make sure that you either cut a small groove in your rafter to let the electrical wire set in there.
Use it with like a Dremel or a routing tool or something like that.
Because there's no way to undo it and put it through a hole, so you have to put like a groove in there and let it in. That's a good comment. That's something that does have to be, have to be careful of the electrical wiring up there. You definitely don't want to put a sheathing on top of it and press it down against a rafter because it may create a problem. So, good comment. I appreciate it, Shaq Bully, whoever, from Biloxi. Thank you. Also, other text was about finishing how to paint paneling. Painting paneling, you can be successful painting paneling, but there's some work involved in getting it correct. And there really is.
Because you got that glossy.
Yeah, paneling is.
It doesn't absorb well.
It sort of has a finish on it that's supposed to last. And it's your job to defeat that finish. And you have to do that. And the best way to do that, first off, is just sand the whole entire area with some maybe 180 grit sandpaper, and you're not trying to sand any finish off. You're just trying to etch the existing finish as much as you can, etch it as much as you can everywhere, in every corner, every crevice, and then use a product called liquid sandpaper. Liquid sandpaper is sold like in the same kind of can, like paint thinner or something like that, and it's a liquid. It actually pours on a rag, and you wipe down the wall. Well, in wiping down the wall with liquid sandpaper, what happens is the liquid sandpaper is also a cleaner and will take all of the old gunk and grime off of the paneling. Plus, it'll soften the existing finish. And then, at that point in time, you would apply to that paneling a high bonding primer. And you can get a good high bonding primer in a latex product or a waterborne product today. And you can also get it tinted to the same color that you intend to finish it with. Now, the other question is, what do you do about the grooves? Well, it's my experience that there's two ways to handle it. You can paint them and just leave them as part of the paneling being painted, which I prefer. Or you can actually fill the grooves with a joint compound or something like that, which is tedious. It takes a long time to do that and to get it smooth and to make it look like it's not just every groove doesn't have some filler in it. It's a long, tedious job. So I prefer leaf paneling looking like it should. I mean, a piece of wooden paneling that all of a sudden turns blue or gray or beige looks fine, even with the grooves in it. So that's...
I like the grooves.
Yeah, I like the grooves. I think
it looks, it gives it some texture.
I think the grooves should stay. I really do. And then for a finish coat, just use a good acrylic latex paint. And the sheen is important as to what you decide. You don't want to use a flat if you can help it. But if you're looking for some sheen but not very much, use like an eggshell and get just a little bit of sheen. It'll be easier to clean later when you have that on there with an eggshell. And yet looking at it straight on, it'll still look somewhat flat.
Well, I grew up in a home that was built, what, in like 1970, 71?
Uh-huh.
And it had the wood paneling in the den. Yeah, all is, and it was always in the den. Big vaulted ceiling, beautiful, right. You know, but it with the cap, you know, you had the molding piece,
sure,
and then normal sheetrock above,
right,
in the, you know, in the upper part of the room, but the lower part was, you know, four walls of paneling.
Sure.
And instead of having that removed, when my dad decided to remodel a little bit, they had a painter come in and he did an amazing job, left the grooves, put in, you know, did exactly what you said, and that's probably been 10, 15
sure.
years ago. You can't, I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah, if the application is done properly, the paint job's going
to
last.
And I actually like it versus, to me, the just straight sheetrock. It gives you some texture. Not in every room, but it is unique to see painted, the old school dark paneling.
Right.
Ripped a ton of that out of the cabin. We had the same stuff up there.
Sure.
And went more with a horizontal as they've made new types of paneling.
Right.
Very cool. But the old school stuff, I mean, they just don't make it like that anymore. It's very durable, you know.
No.
I mean, as opposed to, I mean, even holds, if there's water, you know, if you've had some water come down behind, you've had a drip, you're not going to get that warping and that swelling that you get on the old school paneling that you will on the new stuff.
Right.
But so I don't know. I mean, if you can find the old school paneling, I love that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it really looks good painted.
There's not as much of it around as there used to be.
No, it's hard to find.
And another thing you have to look out for is if your room is paneled with cheapo paneling that has a vinyl face on it, it's just better to remove that paneling and put something decent up there, whether you change to like just a 1x6 tongue groove board, or if you want to put some paneling back there, or maybe just sheetrock. But that cheapo, like on fiberboard and then a vinyl face paneling, I wouldn't spend much time and energy trying to paint something like that, because I'm not sure.
Yeah, you could do 8 gallons of paint, and the board weighs 700 pounds now.
Yeah, I don't think you'd be happy doing that.
Yeah.
So that's just something that. But thank you for those comments, and I hope that helps you a little bit. All right, tell you a little bit about Build Mississippi. Build Mississippi is a great, great organization. It used to be called the Mississippi Construction Education Foundation. And their whole mission is to prepare the state population for the growth in industry and the growth in all commercial type work, heavy duty work, heavy duty equipment, welding, electrical work. They have the training facilities. I think they have two now throughout the state. I know they have one in Pearl, which is, I've been through it, and it's amazing. Their training facility is just amazing. But Tate Reeves got on board and has announced to one of the state organizations $4.4 million to be spread again amongst Hines Community College, Holmes Community College, and Build Mississippi. And what it is, it's to offset the application fee. If you go to and apply for a 10-week course, it will pay for your application fee, and there are grants to pay for your everything that you may need to take that course. It really is a very helpful, very useful organization. Build Mississippi. Going to have Brent on here. Brent Bean, the president of Build Mississippi, here very shortly. And well, in a couple weeks. Who knows when. But we'll have him. So stick around. Coming up next, we've got a music segment coming your way. And after that, we've got Josh Quick is going to be here with Mid-South Crawl Space Solutions. You listen to the Rock and Roll Handyman Show. Fox News coming up next, local news also, so stay tuned. We're here at Super Talk.
I just passed a Jimmy in a white. I've been a passing everything in sight. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight. But it seems like a month since I kissed my baby goodbye. I could have a lot of women, but I'm not like a some other guy.
Don't stop planning for your future. Don't stop investing in your kids' education. Don't stop dreaming of that new home. And don't stop growing your business. Whatever you're passionate or dreaming about, don't stop. Because when you have a bank you can trust, you have the confidence to take on tomorrow. Speak with a Trustmark associate today for advice on achieving your goals. Trustmark. People you trust, advice that works. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Are you looking for a contractor for your new home or remodel? Go licensed. Unlicensed contractors may try to convince you that pulling your own permit can save you money, but they may do shoddy work, or in some cases, no work at all, costing you far more in the long run. Protect yourself and your investment by comparing estimates from three licensed contractors. Remember, go licensed.
For more information, contact the Mississippi State Board of Contractors at msboc.us.
We've sent that rib.
Hello? Anybody home?
Dude, you gotta hear this.
What?
What is it?
This true force has never been fully understood.
Say, what is this?
It boils down to two simple words.
Rock and roll.
Rock and roll.
New England clam sugar.
That's what I'm talking about.
All right, let's keep rocking and rolling.
Wonderful. Couldn't have said it better myself.
It's rock and roll, brother, and we're rocking tonight.
Welcome back. I'm sorry, I was just reading some stuff on the internet. Kind of had me laughing there a little bit. I'm over it now. Handyman show right here at Super Talk Mississippi. My name is Buddy Slowick. You're a rock and roll handyman. Gonna be here until 12 o'clock and appreciate the text you sent to us. Send us some more. 601 879-4395 is our She's Party text line. But this is the music segment. And we're going to talk a little bit about some groups. And I think just saying the word Foo Fighters all of a sudden brings into mind a group that is just amazing. And they've had a number of great hits. But how they started was Dave Grohl was the drummer for Nirvana. And he now is a guitar player and a vocalist for the Foo Fighters. And, of course, he started the Foo Fighters with the late, great Taylor Hawkins, who is now deceased, but they have replaced him with a new drummer. But the Foo Fighters got their name originally from the Foo Fighters were, in World War II, they were considered the UFOs that created fighting in the war.
The little lights.
The lights, the UFOs. So that's what the Foo Fighters is all about. They've been around for years and played concerts with Queen, and Queen and them became really good buddies and good friends and have won tons and tons of awards. But they did a song called All My Love. And we're going to listen to the Foo Fighters do a little bit of that right now.
Searching for something, something never comes, never leads to nothing, nothing satisfies, but I'm getting close, closer to the prize at the end of the rope. All night long, a dream of the day, when it comes around and it's taken away, leaves me with the feeling that I feel the most, feel it come to life when I see your ghost.
Jumping around. Oh no, it's pretty good. Foo Fighters. Yeah, that's what Saturday morning's all about. I remember a lot of Saturday mornings waking up. Of course, I play until about midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning at most places. So I end up getting up late. But the first thing I always do is listen to some good rock music. And I did that as a youngster for years and years and years and years and years. I don't do that anymore. I kind of like quiet when I get up. I guess I'm getting older. All right, moving ahead. John Hiatt. I'm gonna talk a little bit about John Hiatt. Got to go to Thalia Mara Hall a few years ago and see John Hiatt and Lyle Lovett playing back to back on pianos. And what they would do is they would John would sing a song on the piano and play the piano, and Lyatt would just listen. And then they'd tell a story. A great, great story. And then Lyle would do a song and John would listen. And it was just an amazing, amazing concert. Because first off, John Hiatt has written many, many, many great, great songs. And one of his greater songs is Have a Little Faith in Me. And many other people have covered it. He wrote it, and just so many people have made great songs out of, or different type versions of Have a Little Faith in Me. But it's a John Hiatt song. It sounds great song, great song. So let's give a little listen to Have a Little Faith in Me, John Hiatt.
When the road gets dark, let my love throw a spark and have a little faith in me. When the tears you cry are all
believe. Just give these loving arms a try, baby, and have a little faith in me. And have a little faith in me. And have a little faith in me. Faith in me. Have a little faith in me. When your cigarette heart cannot speak so easily, come here, darling, from a whisper star.
Have a little faith in me, because I don't know, sometimes that's what it takes. John Hyatt, great, great artist. Love listening to John Hyatt. And a tremendous, tremendous writer. All right, I'm going to turn this whole thing over to Lance and see. Lance, what do you got up your sleeve for the next song? I mean,
well, it's an interesting one. I hope everybody likes it. They probably remember it, but you know the story behind it. Now, I don't know if people remember the story. But on October the 4th, 1986, while he was walking along Park Avenue to his New York apartment, Dan Rather was attacked and punched from behind by a man who demanded to know, "Kenneth, what's the frequency?" While a second assailant actually chased and beat him, the other kept repeating, "Kenneth, what's the frequency? Kenneth, what's the frequency?" Dan Rather had no idea what the man was talking about.
As do I.
And so a few months later, a song was penned, and it was referencing this event, and it also speaks of the frequency of which maybe the older generation is having a hard time understanding the younger generation. And again, back 86, this story was one that really didn't probably get a lot of attention later, but it's one you need to go back and research, because the song that came from it, and it's, you know, came up from that event back in 87, is REM's "What's the Frequency, Kenneth?" And here is that.
Wow, I love a good story.
What's the frequency, Kenneth? It's your density. Side of the screen.
You know, we talk about Mississippi having a lot of great talent that came out of the state, but I'm talking about Georgia had a bunch as well.
Georgia, yeah, they rolling with it too.
Georgia had a bunch of people that wanted to come out of there that were great stars. Really.
R.E.M., I mean, that was probably one of the first of the rock bands that really came from the Georgia. You had country music and that, but you had people like, you know, Jerry Reed played over there a lot.
Right.
And, you know, all those guys, but then these R.E.M. guys. Then R.E.M., and it spurred people like Widespread Panic and others that came from that all, you know, came from Georgia.
When all of that was coming together, I was playing in a club in Athens, Georgia, and never realized that was going on at the same time. I was doing rock and roll in a whole different thought. But I love listening to R.E.M. All right, Van Halen. Well, everybody knows who Van Halen is, and they did a song called Dreams, which the Blue Angels, the Navy's pilot expertise, used that as their theme song and for their video in 2023, and they also have used it again in 2024. And I, you know, if you want to watch a great, great, great video, you need to watch Van Halen doing Dreams. Well, and in that, Sammy Hagar actually sings lead on it, and Eddie Van Halen, of course, plays guitar. Great song, Dreams, but just imagine the Blue Angels flying around as this is happening. It's amazing to watch. Dreams. Song Dreams, and that's kind of what we're going to do for a music segment today. And for our outtake, we're just going to pick up Dreams and take it from the lead right on to the end, but because it's such a great song. But and during the lead ride, you'll get to hear Eddie Van Halen do some playing. You'll get to hear Sammy Hagar playing first, and then that's Sammy Hagar, and then comes in Van Halen right after that. So outtake, Handyman Show, be right back.
So baby, try.
you looking for a contractor for your new home or remodel? Go licensed. Unlicensed contractors may try to convince you that pulling your own permit can save you money, but they may do shoddy work, or in some cases, no work at all, costing you far more in the long run. Protect yourself and your investment by comparing estimates from three licensed contractors. Remember, go licensed.
For more information, contact the Mississippi State Board of Contractors at msboc.us.
Touchdown! Hey guys, look at me. Now look at yourselves. I make the big plays and the big games. You don't. Yeah, you would have made All-State if Coach put you in. Keep telling that story or you can actually play the game. The Sportsbook at Golden Moon Casino puts you in the starting lineup. I'll still be making the plays, you'll be making the bets, and finally getting the sports glory you deserve. The Sportsbook at Golden Moon Casino. Play the game.
Waiting.
Handyman Show back again. Josh is on the phone with us. We'll get to him in just a minute. I want to answer a text that just came in. We got a picture in that shows some paneling that has been painted. And I did get a message earlier about some person saying they're having their paneling painted right at that particular time and a very good job was being done. And here is a picture of it. And the paneling looks great. And they painted the grooves. It looks just wonderful. The room looks wonderful. It looks like it. It's not dark, it's light, it's bright and heavy and light feeling, and that's the way paneling, when it's painted, it should be. All right, Josh Quick with Mid-South Crawl Space Solutions. Good morning, Josh.
Hey, buddy, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. And yourself?
I am fantastic.
Man, your business is like, everywhere I look on billboards, I see your face smiling down at me.
That is good. That's what I like to hear. We're trying to get ourselves out there and let people know what we do and how we do it. So I'm glad you're seeing us.
Well, I am seeing it everywhere around. And what you do is unique in the fact that a lot of people are beginning to understand more and more how important it is to actually encapsulate their crawl space area and how it can really improve their lifestyle and their quality of life a whole lot.
It makes a big difference. And you said it right, they're beginning to understand. We still got a long way to go and a lot of work left to do in terms of getting the word out there and just really helping to educate people on what goes on underneath the house in a crawl space and why an encapsulation system is the best remedy for all of the problems that come from moisture and humidity under your home.
Which can create just a plethora of problems, just many, many problems that take long time to really solve. And without the encapsulation, some of them are not going to get solved.
Most of them are not going to get solved without an encapsulation system. I had a conversation just this week. A contractor up in North Mississippi gave a guy my phone number. He was having crawl space issues. He said, hey, you need to call Josh. He can help you. So this guy reached out to me. I didn't know him, never talked to him before. He started describing to me what was going on. And he said, I've had another contractor come out here and tell me that I just need to get some more airflow under my home, and that's going to solve my moisture problems. It's funny, and I kind of chuckle because that is the common misconception. People think that more air will solve a moisture problems, but like you and I have talked about many times, you can't dry a crawl space with wet air. Today it's a beautiful day outside. It's a little cloudy, but it's 75 degrees. I'm sitting out on my back porch and I am still wiping the sweat off of my brow. And it's not because it's hot outside.
It's because it's humid.
It's because it's humid outside.
For sure.
And so that humidity is the root cause of the problems. And opening up more vents or creating more airflow under your home does not get rid of the humidity. In fact, it intensifies the humidity, and it accelerates the problem when you add more air to your crawl space.
And that mindset of letting more air in under your foundation is so set in people's mind, including a lot of contractors, that it is a very hard turn to make them realize encapsulating is an answer. But when they realize it and read about the science and find out about what it can do and how it can improve, really solve the problem rather than letting more air in, they turn to you and give you a call and say, hey, let's talk about it.
Yeah, I had a very, very prominent, well-known, you would know his name, your listeners would know his name. He's been in the contracting business for years and years. And he had a customer over in Vicksburg. Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't know this at the time, but he had been working with that customer to solve some moisture issues under his house for 2.5 years. They tried one thing after another. Finally, the customer called me. Now, I had no idea that this contractor had been out there.
Sure.
And I didn't even know the contractor at the time. We encapsulated it. The contractor called me about 1.5 years after I encapsulated that house to come look at another project. And he said, the reason you're here is because, and he named that customer's name. He said, before you encapsulated this house, I spent 2.5 years trying to solve his moisture problem, and nothing worked. As soon as you encapsulated it, all of his problems went away, and you made a believer out of me. And that guy has called us for probably 6 projects since then because he saw the system work firsthand.
Yeah.
Before seeing it, he would have never believed it. He tried all of the other things, the fans, the vents, the everything you can imagine. Nothing worked, but once he saw our system do what he couldn't do without it, it made a believer out of him, and now he's used us many, many times on projects over the years.
Yeah, it's kind of unfortunate that people spend, I wouldn't say a lot of money, but a good bit of money on trying to improve the quality of their crawl space and their living area, and they don't ever consider encapsulation. They just spend the money and get a contractor to come in and add more vents or do whatever they do, maybe put some Viscreen on the floor or something, who knows. But it's certainly nowhere near the protection that you will get out of encapsulating. And again, that's, you have to understand the science of what it does in order to really get on board with it.
Yes, it is important to know that everything that we do is backed by science. It
right.
is not just a good idea that somebody came up with.
Right.
It's been proven by physics, and everything we do, I can show you. We've got illustrations. I've got videos. I've got before and after pictures. I've got all the information that you need to see why what we do works. Don't just take my word for it. I can show you and back it up with science and prove why the system works and why all of the other attempts at fixing humidity issues don't work. I always tell people it's like all of the other things that you can do is like taking Tylenol for a brain tumor, right?
Yeah.
I might get rid of the headache temporarily,
sure,
but I'm not going to get rid of the problem that caused the headache.
Right.
And so you're treating the symptoms, but you're not treating the root cause. And that's what an encapsulation system does. We get to the root of the problem, which is humidity.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And people are really slow to grasp onto that the value of that. They look at the expense of that and say, oh, no, that's too much money for me. But they don't understand that can really add value to their home and add life to their home and add quality to their life as well.
Yeah, you nailed it. It can add a value to their home, yes, but not only that, the money they're going to save from the repairs. I could tell you, we could sit here for the rest of the day, and I could tell you horror story after horror story of homeowners that I have come in after the fact that it was too late, right? That they waited too long. They didn't know. Some of them just didn't know. Some of them found out about encapsulation after it was too late, but spent tens of thousands of dollars, $20,000, $30,000 replacing subfloor, replacing hardwood floors, replacing floor joists and beams under their home that had been compromised by mold and rot and mildew and all of the things that after they had done that, we encapsulated it and they never had the problem again. And had they only known And had they only spent the money on encapsulation before, they would have saved themselves so much money.
Saved a lot of money. You know, even though encapsulating is expensive, still the initial cost would save you so much money in the long run that it's really worth doing and can save you a whole lot of money. We're doing up on our TV. You can, if for people who are streaming and can see us on the television show, we're doing a slideshow of your company and what you do. And on one of the slides, there's a picture of some warped wooden flooring that's actually buckled up. But that's just a result of having moisture come up from the ground.
That's it. That's all. That's the only thing. If you're having buckling hardwood floors, 99% of the time, it's not a shifting of your home problem. It is a moisture problem, and that those hardwood floors are absorbing the moisture, the humidity from your crawl space, and when they do, they expand. And right. Because they're butted up against a wall on one side and butted up against a wall on the other side, they have no place to go but up. And that's why you get those buckling floors or the little ridges at each of the joints of the wood. Right. That is almost every single time that's a moisture-related issue.
And people need to know that because there's a lot of that going on. Matter of fact, the picture is up right now on the screen where we have that buckling floor, and you can actually see the buckling floor. And for people who have any sort of buckling floor, they don't need to look at the problem with the flooring. They need to find out why is it buckling.
Don't call the floor guy. It's not his fault.
No. And you don't need to replace the floor and spend all that money.
Don't.
Probably that's what the floor guy's going to recommend.
Yeah. So what now, and we don't make any guarantees because there are some things that's out of our control. But
sure.
Almost every time, if those floors are buckling and we encapsulate and dry it out, the floors will lay back down.
Yeah.
Again, I can't guarantee that, and we don't make any promises about that, but almost every time, we have seen it many, many times where the floors are terrible. They're so bad.
Yeah.
We encapsulate. Within 6 months, they're laid back down just as flat as they were when they were installed.
And
we just have to reverse the process, and we can pull the moisture back out the same way it got absorbed. We can dry it out from underneath, and we can pull the moisture out of the boards from underneath because of our dehumidification system we use.
Yeah, it works really well. The one time, like you said, it just about always works, but the one time that it probably doesn't work is probably a situation where the wood flooring was put down and but all the way up to the wall, and that's really not how wood flooring should be put down. There should always be a space for it to expand because wood is going to be affected by the elements, by humidity and heat and cold, and expand and contract. And that space, which is covered by baseboard and base shoe, is generally made for that purpose so that it can expand and contract. So if that is the case where your wood flooring goes all the way to the wall, then even encapsulation may not solve the problem.
That's very true. Like you said, with seasons, your floors are going to expand and contract anyway.
Yes.
What we can do is we can control the moisture from underneath. I can't necessarily control the moisture in your living room,
right?
But I can control the moisture underneath your home, and that's what our system is designed to do.
And does a great job. And then on top of that, you can have a reading of that moisture in your home without going under there to find out.
That's right. We install a monitor system in every encapsulation that we do where our customers can see the humidity and the temperature of the crawl space from inside their house. So they don't have to go underneath there. They can keep an eye on that, and that will tell them kind of what's going on up underneath there.
Right.
If you see that humidity rising and it stays high for, you know, a week or two, then you know something has changed up underneath there. You probably need to give us a call so we can come out and check it out.
All right. How do people give you a call? What number do they dial?
That's a great question. The best way to reach us is call in our office. That number is 601-898-0891. You can always find us on our website at mscrawlspace.com. MS like Mid-South. mscrawlspace.com. There's lots of information on there. before and after pictures, testimonials, reviews from our customers, lots and lots of really good info on our website. Just get on there and scroll and click and browse. You can even go and meet our team and see the people that's going to be coming out to your house before we ever even show up. Read a little bit about us.
I have your website pulled up here, and I'm looking at it, and there's it's just full of stuff. I mean, answers to questions, pictures, and just before and after pictures. It's an amazing website. It's a very good website, Josh. Really is.
Well, we try to make it educational. Obviously, we want to drive people to give us a call so we can come out and fix your problem. But more than that, we want to educate our customers.
Yeah.
And so we spent a lot of time making sure that information was on there. So even if you don't call us,
right,
we can still help you and not even know that we're helping you. Right. You can go on there, click, find some answers to some of the questions or problems that you have. And potentially, you know, answer some stuff and get some resolution right there from our website.
That's a good thing to do. A couple other things I wanted to talk about. I've seen recently that you're advertising for a helper, for somebody to get involved in your company. And tell us a little bit about that and what you intend to do.
Yeah, so we are always hiring good people. Our company is growing and expanding, and right now, over the last year or so, we've really been expanding rapidly. And so one of our biggest areas of need right now is what we call the system design specialist. So our outside sales team that comes out, visits you, inspects your crawl space, inspects your foundation needs, concrete repair, we do that. So all of that, when we come out, we're going to do a full inspection of anything and everything, take a bunch of pictures, do some measurements, but then be able to build a proposal to fix the problems that each customer has specifically. So we don't necessarily have a blanket solution.
Right.
Every system that we design and install is specific to that home. So we need more people. Right now, if you call us today, buddy, and I'm ashamed to say, but we're booking appointments into January right now.
Wow.
For us to come out and do inspections. That's how busy we are. And even through this season, which is traditionally our slow season, our phones are ringing off the hook right now.
All right, hang on a second. Josh, I got to take a short break. Can you stick with me here a little bit?
Yes, I got you. I'll be here.
I'll be right back. This is Handyman Show. I'll be right back with Josh in just a minute.
Along that wall, and a neon sign will point the way to our bathroom down the hall.
Showing Taylor Swift through the eras at Grammy Museum Mississippi. Sponsored by Visit Mississippi. Celebrate Swift's 18-year career. From her self-titled debut album through her most recent release, The Tortured Poets Department. This new exhibit showcases costumes, instruments, and much, much more. You don't want to miss Swift's 11 eras. This is an exhibit for the entire family to enjoy. To purchase tickets or to learn more about this exhibit and other events, visit GrammyMuseumMS.org.
Superior. It's more than a name. It's a promise that we make to our customers to provide you the highest quality U.S. farm-raised catfish at your favorite restaurant, your family reunion, or on your dinner table. Hey, this is Steve Azar, and I want to let you know that with Superior Catfish, you know the next bite is as good as the first, time after time, made possible by your friends and neighbors here in Mississippi. Remember, there's catfish, then there is Superior Catfish.
Hi, I'm Jock.
Rain dripping off the brim of my hat. Sure is cold today. Here I am walking down 66. Wish she hadn't done me that way.
What did that carry you back?
Table in a roadside park, a man could wake up dead, but it sure seems warmer than it did sleeping in our king-sized bed. Is anybody going to San Antonio or Phoenix, Arizona? Any place is all right.
I liked it. Good choice, Lance. All right, we've got Josh on the phone with us still. Josh, I'm a little bit of changing gears, if you will. I want to talk to you specifically about your advance from being a helper to where you sit today as being the owner and director of a pretty good-sized company and growing. You are a prime example of what Build Mississippi is all about, taking young, trainable people who are able to focus on a career and expand into where they can really make a pretty good living in the career that they choose. And you've done that. And you've done that very, very, very well. Tell us a little bit about your trip. And I know it starts probably, as far as I know, it starts back with, what's his name?
Yeah, Rickson.
Yeah, thank you, Rickson.
It's been an interesting journey for sure. So when I was young and coming out of high school, I never went to college. I joined the workforce right out of high school and spent a lot of years in the oil field. And when I found myself working with Rickson, I knew that there was an opportunity for me to potentially find myself in an owner position one day, because I knew that he was going to retire, and his children wasn't necessarily interested in taking over his company, so right. He was going to have to do something. And so I immediately just started trying to absorb as much as I could and learn everything that I could from him, because I knew that I was only going to have a few years before he was going to be stepping down. And so that's what I did. I was really hungry, and I was passionate. And one of the things that fueled me more than anything else was my experience in the oil field, where everybody there was just a number. And you, as an individual, didn't really matter as much as they had a position to fill. And if it wasn't you, they was going to find somebody else. It didn't matter who. They just had to fill a position. And I wanted to be different. And I'll never forget a particular instance. I won't go into all the details, but I had a terrible boss. And I told him one day that if I ever find myself in a position of authority, I'll never treat people the way that you treat us out here. And that stuck with me over the years, and I was bound and determined that if I were going to be an owner, I was going to build a company that treated people with integrity and dignity and respect, and that genuinely cared. We didn't just care what you do for us, but we care about you. We care about your family. We care about your well-being. And that's what Mid-South is about. And the people that we have working for us today are really, really good people. And they, I'm not saying everybody, you know, can't wait to get up on Monday morning to come to work, because it is work. You still have to leave your family. But you know what? They enjoy their job enough to, they're not out seeking somewhere else to work. They're not leaving us to take a dollar an hour raise somewhere else.
Sure.
They stay with us and they stick with us because of how we make them feel and how we treat them. And that is a testament to the culture and the heartbeat of Mid-South, and just the quality and the caliber of people that we have working here.
Well, that's such an impressive situation, and you've grown to such a great value to the state as far as your position in the industry and your movement in the industry, and plus you're bringing along so many young people that are getting involved and have a focus and have a desire to grow and gain, and they have a boss who is willing to help them do that. And that's the unique part of Mid-South Crawl Space Solutions. It does so, not only are they great in doing what they do, but also as a company, it's a great company. And Josh, I think that it falls on you more than anybody.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, buddy, and I appreciate you taking the time out of your show to talk about this specifically, because it is something that I'm very passionate about. And we have hired, I have a group of managers in my company that more than anything else, they genuinely care about people.
Yeah.
And that is the thing that allows us to stand out more than anything else. It's just our heart for people. We're a people first company. And we'll tell you that. Well, everybody that comes through our ranks that we hire, we express that. We're people first. And we have found that staying people first, and that means you don't work to, I mean, you don't live to work. None of us live to work. We all work to live. We have dreams. We have aspirations. We have families. We have weekends. We have vacations. We want to do those things, and working allows us to do those things. And so keeping that perspective, knowing that the people at Mid-South are here because they have things that they want to accomplish in their life. They're not here because they, you know, love to crawl around up underneath houses every day.
Right.
And so we keep that in mind, and we treat people as an asset to us. And the things that they do for the company are important, and we never cease to point that out. So it has made a difference, and our management team is really good about keeping that in mind, keeping that focus first.
Well, there's only a handful of businesses that really do it exactly right, and yours is absolutely one of them. And Josh, I just thank you for so much of your time on a Saturday morning, and thank you for, give us that number one more time where people get in touch with Mid-South Crawl Space Solutions.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. It's 601-898-0891. And find us at mscrawlspace.com.
All right. And Josh, thank you very much. I hope you have a great weekend, and get back to work on Monday. Monday's a holiday.
I appreciate you guys.
All right. You take care. Have a good weekend. Josh, we appreciate having him on board. He always has something good to say, and is a good company owner for sure. All right, let me tell you a little about Atlas Foundation Repair, one of the better foundation companies in the sound of my voice. They do slab foundations, and they do repairs on them. You call Tony Arpino, 1-800-256-1010, Atlas Foundation Repair. He'll come out to your place, he'll look at your problem that you may have, and he'll tell you how much it will cost to get it solved. And solving it means two men, one pickup truck, maybe a day, if it's a really serious situation, it might take 2 days, but most everything gets done pretty quickly, and it's really worth making the call. Tony Arpino, Atlas Foundation Repair, 1-800-256-1010. He knows what's going on. All right, I know we're going to run out of time, but I'm going to do this anyway. Veterans Day is coming up Monday, and we need to honor those who've served and are serving or gave their lives for our country. We need to honor them, and don't just have a holiday. Enjoy and honor the people who have made the ability for you to enjoy this holiday and have this day off, because there are so many veterans that have given their entire life to do this, or people who have devastating injuries that are still, we need to just encourage them that life, thank you for their service. And Veterans Day really is a special day, and we want to thank everybody for it. Hey, thanks for listening to the Handyman Show here on Super Talk Mississippi at the Build Mississippi Studios. My name is Buddy Slowick. We do it each and every Saturday, and we will continue to do that from 10 to 12. So you join us on this next Saturday. Tell your friends, the Handyman not only is on the radio, but he is on streaming, on you name it, we're there. Well, pick up our Super Talk app by going to the App Store and find Super Talk and check it out. You'll get us that way. All right, talk to you next week. Buddy Slowick, bye-bye.
We're on our way to Boston to get some clam chowder. Bye-bye.
Are you looking for a contractor for your new home or remodel? Go licensed. Unlicensed contractors may try to convince you that pulling your own permit can save you money, but they may do shoddy work, or in some cases, no work at all, costing you far more in the long run. Protect yourself and your investment by comparing estimates from three licensed contractors. Remember, go licensed.
For more information, contact the Mississippi State Board of Contractors at msboc.us.
Hey, it's Richard Cross from Sports Talk Mississippi. Join us every day for the College Football Fix, driven by Ford and your local Mississippi Ford dealers. Speaking of Ford, how do you create a tradition of leadership? You power it with impressive towing and hauling, sharpen it with smart features like a mobile generator, and dominate the game 47 years straight. That's Ford F-Series, America's best-selling trucks, a legacy of excellence only at your local Mississippi Ford dealer. Don't miss the College Football Fix, driven by Ford.
Hi, I'm Josh Quick, the owner of Mid-South Crawl Space Solutions, formerly known as Clean Space of Central Mississippi. Our name may have changed, but our expertise remains. An unhealthy crawl space can invite mold, bugs, and buckling floors. This affects not only your crawl space, but compromises the health of your entire home. Our Clean Space system will transform your crawl space into a dry, healthy, clean environment that will save you energy and money. No more moisture, no more mold, no more smells. Still doing free estimates at mscrawlspace.com.
Logan Farms in Jackson has the best selection of gourmet meats for your holiday table or for your corporate gift giving. Choose from our center cut filet mignon, smoked briskets, hickory smoked turkeys, and of course, our signature honey glazed hams. Our gourmet meats can be gift boxed, picked up, delivered locally, or even shipped nationwide. Logan Farms in Jackson also offers gift vouchers to make giving your friends, family, clients, and coworkers the flexibility to choose their gourmet product. Call Logan Farms today at 601-366-HAMS or check us out at loganfarms.com.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.